Before we begin, I'd like to emphasize that this podcast is an extension of my surgical work and research at Visionary Eye Doctors, and thank you all for tuning in every week or multiple times to kind of hear about our research and how we help patients. And thank you to all of you who have flown in from all over the world to see us here, so I'm very humbled by that. So it is my hope and desire to keep this information free to all of you, especially to my dear patients. And in keeping with this mission, we are very thankful to our first sponsor for this podcast, Wizard Dry Eye Mask. Many of you have heard me talk about the Wizard before. I have loved this product for years. It looks like this. I have one right next to my bed. So does my husband. I used mine last night. And even, you know, if I can't sleep, I'll use it. It's a wonderful product that you just plug in next to your bed or even at your computer. I've been known, if I start to develop a sty, to do the Wizard as I type and then switch, you know, if I have warm, just like a warm compress. So it works wonderful for that. So thank you to the Wizard. If you mention our name, podcast, Visionary Eye Doctors, Dr. Kramer's, they'll give you a 1-year guarantee. If anything happens to the product, just call them up and they'll replace it for you for free. So thank you to the Wizard Research team for sponsoring this podcast. Enjoy. Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Sandy. Laura Kramer is one of the board-certified surgeons of Visionary Eye Doctors. Thank you for joining us for the EYE Show podcast. A lot of you do sometimes when you come in to see me or even email me, sometimes from all over the world, you ask me what you can do to help our research. And the best thing you can do, honestly, is to subscribe to this channel. And if you have money you want to donate, please do that, because we are doing research trying to find a cure for dry eye to regrow the meibomian glands. So last night, this show came out, which I rarely watch TV, as many of you know, but in the winter when I can't go out for a walk with my dog, I usually will kind of run on the treadmill or walk on the treadmill, and I saw a video on Netflix about Brian Johnson, spelled B-R-Y-A-N, Brian Johnson. So many years ago, a friend of mine who's a psychiatrist at Harvard asked me if I knew Brian Johnson, about Brian Johnson, and I said, no, I've never even heard of him. And so last night, for the first time, I started to find out who this guy was. And many of you already know who he is. You've seen the publicity on him, the positive and negative. Some people hate him, some people love him, but it is interesting of what he's doing. So I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about what I think about Brian Johnson from the medical point of view and about his eyes. So we're going to talk about that. So Brian Johnson, as some of you know, is a 47-year-old, born in 1977. Entrepreneur who made a lot of money. You can listen to on Netflix how he made his money. But he went on a mission after, I think, he found himself in a very dark spot, both physically and spiritually, to try to find a protocol to live forever. And in this Netflix video, he does say he made a pact with the devil, which of course is kind of like, well, you know, and that of course is a little controversial. But let's go from the medical point of view and talk about what he's doing. So yes, he's gotten a lot of negative publicity. Some people call him a freak, a cult starter, starting his own religion. But if you just push that to the side, let's talk a little bit about the medical things he's doing. So I'm going to go step by step through this, because some of it's actually very interesting because it relates to some of the research I've been doing for many years, and I think he has some good data we can use. And the nice thing about the Netflix documentary, which I do encourage people to watch right now, so people can form, you know, kind of make their own informed decision, is that it interviews a bunch of doctors and MDs, PhDs along this kind of documentary to talk about the positives and the negatives from the medical point of view. And so with any of this recommendation, really everyone should go to their medical doctor and find out if this, some of the things he recommends is good for you or not good for you, because everybody's different, everybody has different genes. But I wanna point out some of the things he does do that has some positive benefits. And then we'll talk about what I think he should do for his eyes, because he hasn't talked about his meibomian glands or his tear film at all, anything I could find online. So technically on the video, on the documentary, and also on his Blueprint Protocol website, that's what it's called, is he says he takes about 91 supplements a day. And that's kind of crazy. And I think some people that are kind of pictured in this documentary talk about his sad life. He's so lonely. He doesn't have anybody. And all he does is tries to like live forever. And it's becoming a religion to him. And you know, whatever, I can agree with that to some extent for sure. But let's go through that list and talk about which ones you as a patient should definitely look into, because some of these have been shown to help your cellular structure. Additionally, at the very end of the documentary, he has a snippet where he actually has the insertion of mesenchymal stem cells into his joints, and I think they injected it into his veins. So it's something to talk about, because we've also tried that on some patients to help with their dry eye symptoms, and there's some data to show that it actually is beneficial. So some of the things he's doing is truly cutting edge, very controversial, not obviously for everybody, but the positive is that he's giving us the data from his own body. It's an N of one, meaning he's the only one right now that we have a lot of data on, but of course there's many people following him and starting to do the same thing, and some of them do have the resources and funds to be able to do all these blood tests, muscle analysis, saliva analysis, all these types of things to see if it's making an impact on their age progression. So there are some positives. So let's go through some of the list of the actual supplements he takes and talk about what we know about him. So lycopene is the first one mentioned on many of his websites. That comes from tomatoes, especially stewed tomatoes for a very long time. So cooking tomatoes for a very long time are very good to get lycopene, and especially for patients who have a risk of cancer, especially prostate cancer. That's been published many times. I'm a big fan for getting these types of elements and substances from your diet as opposed to taking a pill, but I can understand why he's doing it in terms of trying to just do it all in one day quickly. Taking 91 pills a day is hard. That's not easy, especially if you're young, or especially if you're old, I should say, but it's just something that I want to mention. So he takes a supplement of lycopene, and if we have time, I'll go through some of the milligram dosages. Metformin is used for diabetes to control blood sugar, and there's a lot of data to show doing that decreases your inflammation and risk, of course, of blindness, cancer, and it increases your longevity, so he's on that. Turmeric is a great substance you can put on your food. It's a natural substance. He takes it as a pill. Zinc, he also takes it as a pill. You can get that in quite a lot of types of kind of meats and foods for sure, and I sometimes take my zinc, as you know, as a lozenge when I'm getting sick. Lithium, he takes a small dose of lithium for mood stabilization. Microdoses of rapamycin, very controversial, but that's been shown in rats to help increase longevity, though recent research has questioned whether it's really effective or not. Epitalon, fistatin, Tognac Ali, astaxanthin, which is present in salmon fish skin, specifically salmon, it makes the salmon pink. Black cumin seed oil, collagen peptides. I take collagen peptides. I take actually some of these as well. I do take turmeric, of course. I take a little microdose of lithium every day. I do, of course, have some zinc from time to time. So some of these are good. I eat a lot of wild salmon. Black cumin seed oil, collagen peptides. I love vitamin C. I like vitamin E. I like nicotinamide mononucleide, NMN. I used to take that every day. That has also been kind of questionable. Coenzyme CoQ10, I do take at least that once every couple of weeks or so. That's also shown to help with kind of the energy formation of your body. Quercetin, I'm a big fan of. Pterosilabine, I'm not familiar with that word. Berberine, I'm familiar with that one, but I haven't taken it. Alpha-lipoic acid, I do take that. Alpha-GPC, I'm a big fan. My friend this is a psychiatrist at Harvard, and I talked a lot about this before I even knew about who Brian Johnson was, and we kind of exchanged our protocols for trying to have a good memory, keep fit, of course, keep our kind of intellectual brain functioning. So a lot of this is kind of exciting, actually. Resveratrol, controversial. I did take that for a while. I stopped it because of the controversy in a recent paper that came out. Omega-3 fatty acids, I take it every day. Magnesium, I take every day. Vitamin D3, I take every day. Vitamin K2, I don't. Probiotics, I do take. Melatonin, I sometimes take. Ashwagandha, I do take. Rhodiola rosea, I don't take. Ginkgo biloba, I do take. L-theanine, it's in my cabinet, but I haven't taken it. Creatinine, I do take. Beta-alanine, I haven't taken it yet. Acetyl-L-carnitine, I've taken it in the past, and I have some in my cabinet. N-acetylcysteine, I'm a big fan of NAC. Glutathione, I don't. Spermidine, I don't. Apigenin, I haven't. Hyaluronic acid, I have, and I sometimes still do. DHEA, every day. Pregnenolone, I do take that every day. Phosphatidylserine, I do not take, but that is an important molecule. Bacopa, Monieri, I do not take. Lion's mane mushroom, I don't take. Cordyceps, resi mushroom, chaga mushroom, I don't take any of those. Turkey tail mushroom, Maitake mushroom, I don't take those, but I do eat a lot of mushrooms, especially shiitake mushrooms, with our food. Shilajit, moringa oleifera, spirulina, chlorella, I don't take any of those. Green tea extract, I do take from time to time as green tea. PQQ, pyroquinolone, quinone, I don't take that. Taurine, beta-glucan, selenium, I do take in a multivitamin. Iodine, I'm a big fan of iodine. Copper, magnesium, chromium, molybdenum, boron, vanadium, silica, biotin, folic acid, vitamin B12, B6, vitamin B5, B3, B2, B1. I do take those in a multivitamin. And I don't know if he takes them each one as a pill. I think he might, actually. Inositol, choline, betaine I haven't heard of, glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, methyl sulfamethane, boswellia serrata. I don't take any of those, although sometimes I have taken chondroitin. Boswellia serrata, cat's claw, devil's claw, turmeric, and curcumin. I do take ginger root. I'm a big fan of ginger. Bromeliad is in my quercetin. Papain, serrapeptase, natokinase, lumbrokinase, EDTA. That's a shocker. I do not take that, but we do apply that to the eye for scar tissue. Zeolite, activated charcoal. I have that in my toothpaste. Chlorella, spirulina, milk thistle, dandelion root, artichoke extract, cischandra, buchdrock root, red clover. We'll have to put this on the link. Yellow dock, clivers, echinacea. I do take echinacea from time to time, but there's been studies that say that doesn't really help with much, but I'd like to look at his maybe research or why he's taking that. Golden seal, astragalus, olive leaf extract. Of course, I'm a big fan of extra virgin olive oil and olive oil in general. Elderberry, I've taken that in the past, but not routinely. Andrographis, propolis, bee pollen, royal jelly, colostrum. Colostrum's amazing, but we can go into that some other time. Lactoferrin, transfer factor, and active hexose correlated compound. Okay, so a lot of these are super, super controversial. A lot of these can be found in food products. So I don't think anyone needs to go out and buy his products. Of course, now he's selling them, you know, more as a business probably. But I do think it's interesting to see his data. So that's something that we need to think and talk about. So in terms of what you can do for your cellular structure and to improve your function of your cells to give you good energy. We've talked about this in the past. And so for you, definitely talk to your medical doctor who may have no clue, but at least make sure you don't have a contraindication to some of the protocols he's and other doctors are recommending. Of course, pretty much all these just general doctors and even Brian Johnson, who's not a doctor, definitely recommend decreasing or eliminating all gluten, sugar, dairy. That's Brian Johnson's diet. He does a long kind of fasting. I think his last meal is around 9 a.m. and then he fasts until like 5:30 in the next morning. So there's some positives and negatives. Incidentally, a friend of mine just posted on Facebook. I did not tell her to fast, but she was started a fasting protocol on her own. And she felt so faint, she fell, she fainted, and she hit her whole face, and she had like a huge hematoma on her whole face. So obviously you have to be very careful with this because people can get hurt by things that your body's not ready for. So look into this, and I probably will do another podcast in the future as I learn more about his actual data. But in combining the fasting, intermittent fasting, a little, you know, kind of increasing it as you can, as your medical doctor recommends. Definitely talk to your medical doctor about that. Considering some of these supplements, some of these are no-brainers. Obviously, a multivitamin, B-complex vitamin. I'm a big fan of quercetin and zinc. And all some of these things he's saying is not without data, so definitely look into it. Definitely incorporate some of his exercise protocols. So he does high-intensity treatment with a therapy and muscle therapy and kind of lifting weights. I think that's good. Muscle atrophy is a big problem as you get older. So doing anything you can to improve the muscle strength is crucial as you get older. And then let's talk a little bit about his eyeballs. So he hasn't released his vision. I don't think he even knows what a mibography is. That's something I would be very interested to find out of what some of these treatments are doing to help his actual eye health and his maybe oil glands. He hasn't complained of dry eye, but the amount of screen time he's on, I suspect it's more than 8 hours a day. I suspect he does need a mibography. So if any of you out there know him, please let him know that we'd love to do that mibography on him. And just to kind of keep in touch with what the data is coming out, Are there other patients that are doing this protocol? If you're doing this protocol and you have a myography, please let me know. I'd love to do it before you start the protocol, after you start the protocol, just to see if this helps at all with the oil glands. Lastly, I mentioned he did this insertion of stem cells. He got apparently the stem cells from a young Swedish patient. I don't know who that was or how much he had to pay for that patient to donate their stem cells. But if you listen to the previous podcast we've done on stem cells, we know that stem cells are very effective to not only replace your dying cells, but to wake up your cells that are starting to go dormant. It's called cell-to-cell contact. He had bone marrow stem cells placed in his joints, and I think maybe even intravenously. We use adipose-derived stem cells mostly because I'm trying to regrow the oil of the meibomian glands, and we believe that that would be a better fit for our patients that are having issues with their glands. So, of course, both are effective for different things, so definitely keep in touch with us about the latest on this. I haven't dismissed him as a freak because I think that the fact that he's opening his body to medical science for studying is important because we all want to improve the quality of our lives. We don't want to necessarily all live forever, nor should we, and that's a whole nother ethical religious question. But medically speaking, there's some data to be learned from his lifestyle and from the data he's allowing us to access. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please subscribe. Please come visit us as you have all over the world. And thank you for joining us. Have a good day.